Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the National Integration Forum and Voices of Christian Dreamers press call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Matt Sorens. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. My name is Matthew Sorens. I am the U.S. Director of Church Mobilization with World Relief and the National Coordinator of the Evangelical Immigration Table. We're really excited to be here with a number of Christian Dreamers who are part of a group called Voices of Christian Dreamers, and also grateful to the National Immigration Forum for the opportunity to have this call. So as you probably know, in September, the Trump administration announced an end by March 5th, 2018, to the program called DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's a program that's protected roughly 800,000 young, undocumented people from deportation and has allowed them to work, to study, and in many cases, to help provide for their families. The end of DACA means that a significant number of young people who are already at risk of deportation, and the number will begin to increase sharply early in the new year unless Congress passes a permanent legislative solution that addresses Dreamers in a constructive, compassionate way. So this morning we're very, very blessed to have with us on this call Representative Bill Flores of Texas, as well as four members of a group called Voices of Christian Dreamers. Voices of Christian Dreamers estimates that there's at least 600,000 individuals who have benefited from DACA who are Christians, and about roughly 200,000 of those are evangelical Christians. So we want to give you the opportunity to hear the voices of these Christian Dreamers. So I'm going to turn things over to our first speaker, Liz Dong, who is the Midwest mobilizer for the Evangelical Immigration Table, as well as for the Bible's Badges to Business Campaign. Liz is based out of Wheaton, Illinois.
Thank you, Matt. As we know that Dreamers, DACA recipients, are students, they're teachers, doctors, service providers, business professionals, innovators, and so much more. For many Dreamers, the United States is the only home that they've known. But for all of us, we have established roots here and call it our home. For me, I came to the U.S. as a 10-year-old from China, came here legally as a dependent on the H-4 visa. But due to our immigration attorney's mistake, including forgetting to attach my dependent paperwork to my mom when she changed her work, and then also circumstances that happened that were out of our control, I lost my status as a 12-year-old, even though we didn't do anything to break U.S. immigration law. Went through high school without documentation. At the time, could not drive, could not work, and could not attend university at the time, regardless of how hard I worked in high school. It was something that really I struggled with my identity, wrestled with my self-worth. But this was a time when the church, my local community, came around to support me. And after graduating from college, I could not work until the passing of Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, in 2012. And since then, I've been able to find gainful employment and work, and as well as pursue graduate education now. Like me, many of my fellow Dreamers want to use these opportunities that are afforded to us in this country to make better our lives, the lives of our families and our communities. We want to give back. And ending deferred action without Congress stepping in and passing a permanent legislative solution means that hundreds of thousands of us will soon lose our work permits and something that allows us to legally support ourselves, our families, and to be able to contribute to our communities. So we're here in Washington, D.C. today to ask members of Congress to pass legislation that will protect us and to ensure that we can continue to stay, to work, to study, and to give back. And as Christians ourselves, we want the larger Christian community, body of Christ, to know that the people whom they consider their brothers and sisters in Christ are directly affected by policy decisions around Dreamers. So we're asking fellow Christian brothers and sisters both for their prayers and also for their action in advocating on behalf of us. The deadline to end DACA looms for next March, and there's still no permanent legislative solution to protect Dreamers. So we respectfully urge Congress to really seize this opportunity, this moment, and pass legislation to protect us and help us remain in this country permanently. And we ask for a solution soon because every day we're seeing DACA recipients lose their work permit.
Thank you so much, Liz. Next, we're going to turn to Elisa Gonzalez, who is a college student and also works as the intern development director at Urban Hope in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
I was brought to the United States when I was 8 months old. My mom brought my brother and I, and at the very, very young age of 8 months old, I had no clue what was going on, and my brother had no clue what was going on, and I don't have any memories or remembrance of what happened or of my quote-unquote home in Mexico. All I remember is America, and specifically Spartanburg, South Carolina. And as Liz said, the church played a huge role in equipping my family to get jobs and to try to better their family. And like Matt said, I'm currently a sophomore at Converse College in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and that was only possible because of DACA. I did not know that I was undocumented until my brother applied to high school and that, or to college, and that was the first year that DACA was announced. My brother thankfully was able to go to school, and I also work for Urban Hope in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is a nonprofit that connects inner city kids and kids that come from broken families and poverty, connect to Christ through our different programs, but also to help them bridge that gap to an education and to work. And so without DACA, that wouldn't be possible for me, and it wouldn't be possible for me to finish school, which when I finish school next year, actually, I want to be part of an organization that creates community stability, and specifically in Spartanburg, South Carolina, because it has given me so much, and I want to give back to my community and my fellow Dreamers that are here with me today. That's what we want to do. We want to stay here so that we can give back to our homes, and we need a permanent solution because the fear of deportation haunts us daily. And for me, my DACA expires in March, which right now it's really hard to study and to keep good grades knowing that in March all that could be taken away from me. So I really, really urge my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, as Liz said, to educate yourself on what DACA is exactly, to reach out to your senators, and specifically for Spartanburg, South Carolina, and Tim Scott and Trey Gowdy, I really ask that you come out and support DACA, and to realize there's so many people in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and in Spartanburg who are affected by this, people who want to give back and who are giving back to the community and want to bring so much life back into the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Elisa. Next, we're going to turn to Catherine Narvaez, who works as the Health Program Coordinator at the Center for Pan-Asian Community Services in Atlanta, Georgia. Catherine?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Matt. As Matt said, my name is Catherine Narvaez, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia. Before I start talking a little bit about DACA, I want to explain my story. You know, I come from a small town in Guatemala. When I was 6 years old, I was uprooted from the traditions, the customs, the language that I knew for the uncertainty of tomorrow in hopes that my family would achieve the American dream. That journey took 2 years, traveling through Mexico, often without basic necessities such as water, shelter, or clothing. You know, I was a kid when I crossed the border, came to America, went straight to a church asking for help, you know, and it was the church that enabled us all through Mexico and even when we arrived to the United States to root ourselves again and be able to push on to get to America so that we could have a chance at the American dream. You know, when I got to America, just learning the language and adapting to the culture and the new traditions was extremely hard, but I think we have displayed perseverance and a lot of determination. If you ask me anything about Guatemala, I probably would not be able to tell you, but if you ask me when we became independent, when the civil rights movement started, when women got the right to vote, when the suffrage movement started, I can tell you all of that because that's the culture that I grew up in, and those are the the history that I know. My academic perseverance and athletic perseverance enabled me to get a full-ride scholarship to attend college, even when DACA was not in place. So I did it with nothing, and it was extremely hard being rejected from colleges just because I didn't have a piece of paper. So I lived in the shadows for a very, very long time. You know, DACA enabled us to get a job, to become first-time home buyers, to become entrepreneurs. My family became entrepreneurs the moment we got DACA. We provide jobs for people. And, you know, we're homeowners, the first time my mother has ever owned a home, you know, and it was because of DACA. Right now I work in a nonprofit helping the immigrant and refugee community also establish themselves, specifically trying to work with youth in low-income families to prevent them from going into drugs and gangs and enabling them to pursue their dreams through the power of education. And that's something that has really resonated with me as a young dreamer because I didn't have those resources available to me. You know, like I explained before, we were uprooted from everything we knew. Come to America, and when we were placed in a new environment, we invested ourselves into our community, adapting to the new culture, adapting to the new traditions, and learning the English language. You know, through DACA, we became homeowners, we became entrepreneurs. It enabled us to work to better our communities and gave us the possibility to better ourselves through the power of education. You know, on various occasions, we have proven ourselves that, you know, we are an asset to this country. Taking DACA away would mean also uprooting ourselves again to a world that we no longer recognize, that we no longer remember. You know, we want to uphold the Christian values of empathy and compassion and family. And so we implore everyone to get educated on what the DREAM Act is and how it can affect the country and to allow us to continue to better ourselves so that we can better our nation. You know, we all came to Washington today to ask our members of Congress to pass a permanent legislation that would allow us to remain in this country, especially because my DACA ends in April, and, you know, what happens to our business, what happens to our home, what happens to my employment opportunities, being an educated young Latina woman in America, that I'm going to have to get paid under the table, I'm going to have to hide again and go back to the shadows that I do not want to go back to, you know. So I urge our political leaders to pass a just, compassionate bill that gives us a solution that protects us and our families, our jobs, and allow us to continue to provide and contribute to the American society. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Catherine. And now we've been hearing the voices of Christian dreamers, but we also want to hear from a legislator. So we're very grateful to have U.S. Representative Bill Flores of Texas on the line. Congressman Flores, we'd love to hear your perspective on this issue.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank each of you for joining us on this call, and for those of you that traveled to Washington, thank you for coming up to talk about the importance of coming up with a comprehensive fix to deal with DACA. We've heard several discussions about the struggles that are faced by Dreamers. I think it's important to remember that the Dreamers didn't put themselves into the situation that they find themselves in today. That happened because of the actions of others and because we have a set of laws that really doesn't fit their situation very well. So we need to, we as Congress need to address that. You know, while on one hand, the policy goal that President Obama put forth when he implemented the DACA program probably made sense, the real challenge was is it didn't fit the Constitution. Under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, it clearly says that all actions related to immigration belong to Congress. So I think President Trump made a good decision when he said that the DACA program would have an end date. The DACA program put in place by President Trump would have an end date, but he also challenged Congress to do its job and to get it right, right meaning within the scope of our Constitution. So now what many members of Congress, folks like me are trying to do is trying to address the president's challenge to Congress to deal with this important population that's having to live in the shadows through no fault of their own. And so I live in a reasonably conservative district, but about 80% of the folks in my district think that Dreamers should have a path to legal status, and actually a large, over 50% think they ought to have a path to citizenship. And that's where I am as well. And so I am actually putting my rhetoric to work in this regard. We are going to have a bill that we hope to file this week that will take elements that all ends of the ideological spectrum are saying are important to get done when it comes to immigration. The first element of this is something similar to the Recognizing Americans Children Act, or RAC Act, which I have signed on to be a co-sponsor. We take elements from that. All right. We also try to address the security concerns that everyday Americans have. You know, we want a secure border. We want a visa enforcement tracking system that works. So we worked with our legislative team here in my office to come up with a bill that has all that done. The first draft of that is prepared. We've got other members on the Republican side of the aisle that are willing to support that. I'm trying to find some on the Democratic side of the aisle. I think I've got one or two that would be natural supporters of that. So we hope to introduce this as bipartisan legislation very soon. Now, if it were up to me, if I were the czar of the House floor, and let me make clear that I'm not, but if it were up to me, we would have something like the bill I'm talking about on the House floor this month before, so we can get this issue taken care of before the Christmas holidays. Candidly speaking, it doesn't feel like that's going to happen when I look at all the things on the calendar that need to be addressed, tax reform, dealing with the CHIP insurance program, dealing with funding the government past December the 22nd, and a couple of other items. It just doesn't feel like there's enough legislative calendar time to have something as important as dealing with the Dreamers scheduled. That said, I'm still going to push my colleagues to keep this front and center and try to get something done this year. But if it doesn't, and I don't hold a high likelihood that it will get done, then to have it queued up first thing next year. We've got until March 5th to get this done, but to me that date is not meaningful because that just means that we add another 60 days of uncertainty to this important population for our country and for our economy, and I'd like to get that dealt with as soon as possible. So that's where I am. I think I've over talked my time slot. I appreciate you allowing me to participate, and I ask that you keep Congress and its leaders in your thoughts and prayers, that we get the right thing done, that we show good wisdom on this, and that we move expeditiously. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Congressman Flores. This is Matthew Sorens with the Evangelical Immigration Table. Do you have any time for questions, or you don't have time for that today?
Yeah, I can take a couple. Sure, I'd be happy to.
Great. Operator, can you just give the instructions? And we're going to just do questions for the congressman right now, and we'll do questions for our Christian Dreamers afterwards.
Thank you, sir. If you'd like to ask a question to the congressman, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Please limit yourself to one question and then re-signal if you'd like a follow-up. Again, star 1 for questions. We'll pause a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And we'll go first to Kevin Diaz with Houston Chronicle.
Good morning, Congressman. Hi, good to talk to you. My question for you is, it sounds like you feel like addressing the Dreamer issue is almost like a moral imperative. It's the right thing to do. Would you be willing to do it on its own, or does it have to be tied to some kind of border or security or immigration provisions as well?
I really think if you want to get it passed, that you've got, I mean, there are two things we've got to consider here. One is what's good policy, and good policy involves dealing with the Dreamers in a tangible way so that they have a security and a path to legal status and possibly to citizenship. I think it's an imperative that we deal with a border security, a border that's porous. I also think that it's important that we deal with where 40% of the other folks that are here illegally are coming from, and that's through a broken visa system. So I know that we've got purists out there that would like to do only border security and visa enforcement. We've got purists that would only like to deal with Dreamers. Candidly, though, I don't think there are enough votes to do those standing on their own. So why don't we take these two good policy issues, put them, fuse them together, and then I think you actually have good politics coming out of this because it's it deals with these important issues, number one. Number two is it's bipartisan. How can any either side say I'm against Dreamers, and how can either side say they're against border security? So what I'm trying to do is to put both of those together to try to come up with an optimum result. Now, is it a perfect result? No. We've got more things that we need to deal with when it comes to immigration. We've got things to deal with in terms of fixing the visa system so that we can get the right kinds of labor in the country, things like that. But this would be a good first step. And I think that if we could get something like this done, everybody would say, you know, that didn't hurt too bad, and the politics worked out okay, irrespective of which side of the aisle I'm on. So let's go take another small step to deal with our nation's immigration system.
Thank you so much. Operator, is there any other question?
Yes.
More, Congressman?
We'll take one more question. We'll go to Evan Wilt with World Magazine.
Hi, Congressman. Thanks for taking the time to do this. I guess my question is more of a practical one. When I talk to Democrats about this issue, they always raise up the concern about when you tie in those border security measures, they feel like it loses the integrity of the bill, right? It loses the integrity of having a true solution for Dreamers. And I guess my question for you is, why do you think your plan is going to be any different? Why do you think it's going to be able to get bipartisan support to actually have something passed?
I guess the way I would answer it is to say, why not? Who can be against improving our border security? Who can be against dealing with a broken visa tracking enforcement system? And who can be against our Dreamers? Now, look, I'm kind of as hard right as anybody, but the hard right population that's against the Dreamers is really, really small. So I see an opportunity here for all ends of the ideological spectrum to come together to deal with this. And I don't think that you can get either of these done totally by themselves. So why don't we come up with a practical solution that does that addresses the two biggest issues that we have on immigration today, the Dreamers and border security and visa tracking, and put them together.
Thank you so much, Congressman. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time today. We know we've got a busy schedule, so thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me participate, and I hope you all have a great forum.
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you.
We're going to turn then to our last of our four Christian Dreamers. Fia Vongimalala is the Director of Children's Ministries at Youth Hope in Moline, Illinois. Fia?
Thank you, Matt. Hello, my name is Fia Vongimalala. I'm from Madagascar. I came here to the United States when I was 16 years old on a valid H-4 visa. I had no way to find sponsor or money to renew my visa to an F-1 for me to be able to work, and that's when DACA came. So DACA came as an answer to prayer because we had no way to renew my visa at all. I graduated from Moody Bible Institute last year with highest honor in the communications major. When I was 18, God has opened my heart to the plea of the youth and the children in the United States, you know, youth from broken families, children who don't know their parents, who have divorced parents. I currently work for a nonprofit organization called Youth Hope Christian Friendliness in the Quad Cities of Rock Island and Moline. And in Rock Island, we receive diverse immigrants. More immigrants are coming into Rock Island, refugees from Africa, refugees from Asia, and my background from Madagascar gives me a deep connection to work with these families and work with these kids. I counsel the parents, and I know that a lot of them are confused about what they do here, their identity and their purpose here, and the families are mostly broken. So thanks to DACA, I'm able to use my experience as an immigrant to share with these parents and these families of who God is and what he can do in their lives, because they look at me and they say, wow, I mean, She was able to graduate from college. Now she has a full-time job. I'm able to do that too. And because of my language of French and different languages, I connect deeply with the African refugees from Africa that are entering Rock Island in big, big numbers. And so that has allowed me to make my dream come true. And my dream has always been to serve youth from broken families, children from broken families, counsel parents who go through identity issue and different problems like that. And now I even have the opportunity to minister to immigrants, refugee immigrants coming from the continent of Africa and Asia. And I always want to say that the wonderful thing about the United States is we are diverse. We have different cultures, and which adds richness to our heritage and who we are as a nation. But it's even better that you have the nation serving the nation, because you have people who understand who these people are, where they come from, what it means like to be in their shoes. So if we're talking about from the Christian perspective, it's like bringing the Great Commission where we are, because it's discipling the nation, showing them the love of God where we are. So that's a great heritage for the United States. And all I want to do is to be able to do that permanently, to be able to reach out to more youth, more children, counsel more parents, and show them that God loves them, that there is a reason why they are here. So it is true, DACA is not a permanent solution, and we're thankful to, if DACA is canceled, I'll potentially lose my job and the wonderful opportunity to make a difference in the lives of immigrant families and children. So that's why we have come to Washington to meet with the members of Congress and to talk to them about the contributions of people like me and how we need a permanent legislative solution to protect us and our families and allow us to stay here and to continue to better ourselves and to continue contributing to our communities. So I would like to respectfully ask our political leaders to pass a just, compassionate legislative solution to protect us, our families, our jobs, and even our continued presence in this country. And coming from Illinois and currently residing in the Quad Cities, I appeal specifically to Dick Durbin and then Jerry Bustos and Tammy Backworth. We know that you guys are very active right now in supporting the Dreamers, and you understand who we are and what we're going through. And we're thankful to you, and we wanted to encourage you. We're standing behind you to continue being vocal and continue sharing your thoughts and explaining why this is such an urgent thing and that we cannot wait anymore. You know what you have in us, Dreamers, is you have hardworking people who want to give back, people who already are contributing in the economy, people who serve in different areas, medical, ministry, teacher, education, different areas. And so you're just adding richness into already an already rich nation. And so I'm thankful to the three of you for understanding that, and I want to know that we are standing with you, we're standing behind you, and we want to encourage you to be even more vocal.
Thank you very much, Fia. We are going to take a little time for questions for these four Christian Dreamers. So if you had the operator can just again maybe share the instructions for asking a question.
Thank you. Once again, that's *1 if you would like to ask a question. Please be sure you're unmuted so your signal reaches our equipment. *1 for questions. We'll go now to Nicole Kobler with the Dallas Morning News.
Hey, thank you. I believe so Representative Flores is off the phone, but after his comments, I'm wondering if any Dreamers can kind of comment on the combined proposal that he is suggesting, if combining a DACA fix with border security would be what you're hoping for and what would work in this case.
Sure. So, Liz, are you up for taking that question in terms of kind of a compromise bill that might be coming forward? So this is Liz Dahl.
Yes, and thank you for that question. We understand that certainly politics is complicated, that there are many moving pieces and involves compromise. So we affirm the importance of maintaining a secure border. We certainly understand the importance of protecting ensuring national security and public safety. So I think we are with representatives who are working hard across the aisle to come to a solution. But we certainly hope that that is not the sticking piece. We hope that they will work towards a permanent solution for Dreamers while balancing security, but also
ensuring a compassionate, a just response that impacts the lives of so many. You know, we mentioned that the March 5th deadline, but already we're seeing individuals are losing their status. Somewhere around 22,000 DACA recipients will lose their work permit by next March, even before the deadline. So we certainly urge members of Congress, as they consider, you know, this difficult decision, that they press forward in coming with a solution soon.
Right. Maybe just to highlight that, Catherine, in terms of the urgency, you mentioned that your DACA expires in April. So can you speak to why that is important that Congress would come to a permanent solution quickly?
Yes, of course. You know, like I explained before, DACA allowed us the opportunity to get a job, become homeowners. You know, we were able to start up our own businesses. My family owns businesses. And we were able to employ people. And that's something that came about because of DACA. The moment that my DACA expires, the uncertainty of providing those jobs is no longer there. The uncertainty of us even having the business open is no longer there. So, you know, waiting for March 5th, I know that that's the deadline that President Trump set, but doing it before that would mean that, you know, it would potentially allow me to continue to provide these jobs and continue to, have a house, be able to drive, especially because, I mean, I come from Georgia, and it's a very, like, conservative state. You know, people live in fear constantly because it's just very, very, not a very supporting state when it comes to immigration. And so passing legislation that right now would mean that, you know, it's going to take up to 7 months for USCIS to even, like, put out paperwork and just application fees and the paperwork needed to submit for the DREAM Act or whatever act passes. So potentially April comes around, I'm going to be without a status up to when Congress decides to act and when USCIS finishes setting up the whole process. So it affects not just personally, but employers as well, who will have to let go of people who they've invested in, who they've trained, and potentially businesses will lose a lot also. So it not only jeopardizes myself or me personally, but it jeopardizes the business that I work for, so the nonprofit that I work for. So.
Thank you, Catherine. I think we probably have time for one more question. Operator, can we have the next?
Thank you. We'll take our last question from Kelsey Dallas of Deseret News.
Hey, this was just asking for a clarification from Matthew. Is it still on the table to combine some sort of DREAM Act with the spending bill by December 22nd?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kelsey. So this is Matthew with the World Relief and Evangelical Bridge Table. Of course, that's up to Congress. I think there's a lot of speculation that that might be a way that a bill could move, because certainly I don't think anyone on either side of the aisle, you know, wants the government to shut down, so there's going to be a lot of will to pass a spending bill. And since most members of Congress also seem to think that we should pass a permanent solution for DREAMers, that might be a convenient way to do it. Our message hasn't been to necessarily endorse one particular vehicle, but to say it is extremely urgent, and whether it's on its own or as part of a larger bill, we really want to urge Congress to act with a permanent, inclusive solution for DREAMers before the end of the year. And how they do that, I'm not a prophet to tell you. I think certainly we've heard many people in D.C. suggest that might be the way that Congress tries to do this, and others saying, no, that's not the way we prefer to do it. But our message is, however you do it, it needs to happen quickly, because we've got at least two young women in the room here whose work authorizations will expire in the next few months, and it will take months for, once the bill actually passes, to create that process where there's a form to fill out, where there's a process to apply for work authorization through a new program. In the meantime, they will lose their work authorization, and their employers will be required to lay them off, which is frustrating for an employer. It's frustrating for them, obviously, and for their families as well. So thank you for that question, Kelsey. I think with that, we are out of time. We want to respect the time that we've asked you all for. Thank you so much for joining this press call from the Voices of Christian Dreamers. I want to encourage you to check out christiandreamers.us, where you can read a number of stories of Christian Dreamers and the video that they created, really expressing their gratitude for this country. And I also want to give our thanks to the National Immigration Forum for helping coordinate this call. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you for your participation. That does conclude today's conference. You may now disconnect.